Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the brilliantly bright voice of your local announcer, Tom Fitzmaurice. I'm not all that bright, but it's really bright outside. You know what I mean? And it's time now for the food show. Every afternoon we sit down and we talk about all of the food that is around New Orleans, and that is, of course, a whole lot of it. But not only is there a whole lot of food out there, there's a very great quantity of excellent food out there. In all of my books and in anything where it seems appropriate, I always put in the slogan, America's best eating city. I think we are. And if you don't think we are, call me up and put me your case in front of me, and we'll drink the case, and then we'll, you know, figure out what to do after that. Our number is 260-6368, and if you call us at any time, we will be very pleased, more likely than not, that we will put you on the air and shoot the breeze with you. But we have an actual crowd in the studio today, and let me tell you who all is here. Let's start with the ladies. I don't think I wrote yours down. I can't believe. Well, we have a lady here.
Hi there.
And who are you?
I'm Kelsey Reed.
Reed. No, I did have it here, but I forgot to write it down. And Squeeze?
Yes, Squeeze.
What is Squeeze, and what gets squeezed?
Well, we squeeze juices, and we have salads and smoothies. Our tagline is veganish.
Veganish.
Yes.
So it's not really...
Not all the way.
Not all the way, but it's sort of
ish.
You can pass for it.
Yeah. It's really a macrobiotic.
What does that mean?
So
I'm not trying to be snarky. Yeah. I don't have a clear idea in my mind what did you just say it was?
Macrobiotic.
Macrobiotic. Yeah.
So it's a diet that's centered around pretty much being vegan, besides fish a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
So being in, you know, New Orleans, the land of seafood, that's my indulgence that I choose. And after talking to a lot of customers that have come to the stall, they didn't really know what macrobiotic was either. But they are kind of in the same boat. People that want are vegan and want to eat healthy, the one thing they do kind of indulge on is fish. So it's a kind of a new concept here, I think, and I think the trend is coming up, especially with.
But yeah, please tell me, because I'm always trying to keep up with the trends.
Yeah.
But I'm not exactly the kind of guy you could call trendy.
Oh, sure.
So I, well, you know, we've kind of kept up with things. Just it has mainly caused us to have our program on the air for 30 years.
I think you're doing it right.
So anyway. Kelsey Reed Squeeze.
Yes.
Okay. Where does this show up as a product that we might be able to buy or at least look at?
So at the Pythian Market, we're located.
Pythian Market. Let me stop that right there.
I
know where it is because we had a couple of people from there before, but I don't think most people who were listening that they caught it exactly. Mm-hmm. So what is that?
The Pythian Market is a new food hall on Loyola and Gravier. It's right across from City Hall. We have 14 vendors. It's a beautiful space, opened every day, kind of like a St. Rocker auction house. It's stalls all around each other.
Give me a reading on exactly where that is.
It's 234 Loyola Ave.
234 Loyola. Well, that's kind of over by the old... the old library, isn't it?
Correct. Yeah. Right across the street.
Well, I got one thing right today.
Ding, ding, ding.
Oh, it feels so good when you do. Anyway, Pythian. This has appeared on that whole installation there. There's quite a few organized. You couldn't exactly call them a market, but they're kind of like markets.
Right. Well, the building itself is like a historical landmark.
Yeah.
And then we're going to be the food hall at the first floor. And then on top of us, we're building out a jazz center and an event space. So it's going to be a whole situation soon.
Well, this all of a sudden sounded like a much bigger undertaking than my image of it 5 minutes ago.
It's all in the works still, but the second floor will be coming in fall.
Yeah. The closest I've gotten to the Pythian thing, is that those guys who do the bagels, what's their name?
Stein's Deli.
Stein's Deli.
Yeah.
And they're doing their own bagels, which has not ever been something that was easy to find around New Orleans and still isn't.
Right.
Are they hooked up with you guys?
No, they're not hooked up with us, but we do have Crew has Bagel Boy, which is another guy who's kind of tackling the bagel thing.
Oh.
I think I've always thought bagels here generally weren't great, but I also think I'm pretty obnoxious about bagels.
And you're from the North.
Yeah, because I grew up in Boston, and we felt really weird about it.
Yeah.
But I do think the new bagel movement is just, the people are coming out aggressively. I think it's
I can tell you I haven't even seen it, but I can tell you that that's true, because we have at times during the years had some bagel guys, bakers and all the rest of it, here and there around town, but they never could make it last. It would go on for a while, and then a few months later, gone.
It's
what happened to him?
Hard food.
It's a lot of unusual equipment.
We're humid here.
Yeah,
and that too.
It's different. And so poulet, actually, at the Pythian Market, is the bagel kind of sandwich concept.
So I'm in my mind, I'm trying to figure out exactly what your function is in all of this. And one thing that comes to mind immediately is lunch break. Another one would be, you're driving home and you want to have something good for your kids to eat when you get there instead of going straight out to the fast food place. Is that the kind of thing that we're talking about here, or is what you're doing more
fast
complex?
Fast casual. Yeah.
Fast casual.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll have to write that down or chisel it in stone more likely. Let me shift over to your other buddy here, Micah.
That's me, Micah Martello.
You know, I know two other people whose name is Micah. They're both girls. I don't know.
Most of the other Micahs that I've met have been girls.
Yeah, well, Italian. You run into an Italian girl, and if that's her name, that's M-I-C-A.
Yeah.
And it's a short one word jump to Micah means a Micah, which is amicable, lovely.
Right.
Yeah,
and
Micah.
I'm certainly lovely, right?
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Isn't he lovely?
And you guys have
And we're really getting foolish here, but I apologize for that. What exactly does Micah Martello do?
So Micah Martello owns Fête au Fête Streetery.
Fête au Fête.
Yes.
So we're talking, just everybody can get their spelling correct, F-E-T-E, and you've got one of those little things there.
Right.
And then A-U.
Fête is French for with.
With?
I'm sorry, two. Two. I'm
two.
Sorry, I get my languages mixed up there.
Fête au Fête. Do me a favor, grab that microphone and just knock it over a little bit that way. They're perfect. Okay.
Gotcha.
There,
okay. Yeah, so a fête is an old English or an old French term
for a party,
celebration, joyous occasion. We started as a food truck.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of catering, so we go from festival to
festival.
I was
waiting for that word to come out, because that is immediately what it sounds like.
Yeah, party to party. That's kind of what we do. And so now we're in food halls. We still have the food trucks, and we still cater, but we do food halls as well. And
food halls were introduced to me by my wife, actually. She wrote a little article about it for our newsletter. And since then, I've seen that expression used more and more, increasingly, all the time. It is food. Wait, I've lost it already.
Food hall.
Food hall.
Yes.
This is different from a food court.
It is.
Food hall. What is the difference anyway? What do you get in a food hall that you can't have in a food court?
In a food court, it's surrounded by a big, terrible mall. and it's got a lot of fast food in it.
Uh-huh. Okay.
A food hall is like an upscale food court without the mall. And with locally owned, really good food.
And a bar.
The
pretzels are excellent.
Cookies.
Food courts. Every food court has a great pretzel and the cookies.
Oh,
that's all
you
really want. I think food halls, you actually make different choices.
Right.
You know what I keep thinking? Every time the subject of pretzels. Did you just mention pretzels?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Every time that comes up, I get this same thought, and I've never seen it done by anybody, although it's hard to believe. I'm sure somebody must have done this at some point. Instead of putting a sandwich on bread or a bun of some kind, you put them between two
pretzels.
And pretzel buns. It's a thing. It's already there.
It's already there.
It's already there.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've never run into it, but every time I see it at the airport or a place like that, I say, you know, that would make a great thing for us to make a sandwich out of instead of just what it is.
It's a thing.
So you're telling me that it's happening already.
It is.
Okay.
But not by you yet, so could be your concept. You should own that space.
Listen.
Tom does pretzels.
I've been asked throughout all of my long years why it is that I never got into the restaurant business if I talk about it so much. And my answer is because I've seen it up close, and it is difficult, and it is real work.
It's terrifying.
It's pretty scary.
Yeah, it's. I've never seen it any otherwise than that. And that's just – but that's okay. That worked.
I don't see how staying on the air for 30 years was easy.
Right.
I think you'll be okay with that part.
I don't know what else to do, though. So we're doing all of this. Is this open every day at a certain time of the day?
Yes, sir.
What time would that day be?
We open for breakfast at
breakfast.
8 a.m.
And what do you serve for breakfast?
We do trash grits.
Trash grits?
Trash grits.
Okay. I give up. What's that?
So our trash grits, we start off with a stone ground corn, heirloom corn grit.
What a great start, and I wish everybody who served grits would take it or something comparable, because most of the grits served in most of the restaurants around town are truly hideous.
They are. And because they all use the same
old stuff.
Plain, quick grits from whatever vendor provides it.
So
our grits are imported. They come out of South Carolina.
Imported?
Yes. From the country of South Carolina.
Oh. I thought that sounded a little off.
Yeah. And so we cook our grits more like Italian polenta. We cook them a little stiff, a little firm. We cook them in chicken stock with a lot of butter, a lot of garlic. We finish them with a fair amount of cheese. That is topped with a little bit of smoked Gouda, some grilled onions, some twice-cooked smoked pulled pork, a fried egg, and sriracha sauce.
Well, why don't you put a little something in there to goose it out a little bit?
Right.
It sounds like you have that well controlled, and where do you get more counter space is what I think you're probably thinking a lot.
We sell quite a bit of grits. We do shrimp and grits. We do chicken and waffles. I brought chicken and waffles.
Fried chicken?
Yes, fried chicken
and waffles. I've never been able to get my head around that concept.
Why?
But then again, I'm an old pooperoo, so that explains everything.
We jumped on the chicken and waffle bandwagon, I got to be honest with you, but we do a good chicken and waffle.
Mm-hmm.
We use a Belgian-style pearled sugar waffle. We fry a boneless, skinless thigh, so it's nice and juicy and moist. And
well, if it's good, it's good. You know,
that's, we do a bourbon cane syrup and honey butter with it. So we brought chicken and waffles and trash grits today. So
really?
You actually get to taste trash grits.
I want to taste the trash grits.
We can do that.
Who gave it that name? Maybe
I
should have thought about it a little longer. No?
You know, we started this dish on the food truck.
Did you?
A friend of mine in Morgan City owns a barbecue restaurant out there. And when I first moved back to Louisiana, he was hanging out on my food truck with me, and he brought a smoked pulled pork butt.
Uh-huh.
And he said, hey, let's sell this. Let's see what you got we can come up with. And this was all the extra stuff that I had on the truck. And I made this dish, and it just the name stuck. And people look at it, and they go, trash grits.
It's not exactly what you would call on everybody's lips.
Right. But it works. It works for us.
Yeah.
It's our style. We're a little edgy.
It makes a statement that really needed to be made.
Exactly.
And it just I wonder how it is that grits is universal. You know, the white foam, nothing. I mean, it's just nothing going on there at all. And why that hasn't been taken off and carted away and replaced with all of the stone ground grits and all of that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yellow grits, which makes a big deal.
It does.
All right, it's the Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. I've been informed, and I knew this already, but I didn't know the details. We have another conversationalist who is going to move in on us using our phones. Is that correct? She's up now? She is?
Yes.
Oh, there you are. Mm-hmm. And who might this be?
Rachel. I'm Rachel Angula.
What screen?
And I'm,
this? There's
and
nothing
I'm
on the
Google.
Screen. wait, hang on a second here. Would you tell me your name again?
Yeah, I'm Rachel Angulo, and my husband's with me also.
Benoit Angulo.
Okay, let me hear that again, because I didn't quite catch it. There was a little bit of... Oh, I see. Okay. All right. I see here. I have been told that you are the owner of La Cochinita.
La Cochinita, yes.
What is that?
Little Kitchen.
Little Kitchen, yeah. What...
Yeah.
And not only that, but the kind of place you'd like to smile about. Whatever,
yeah,
I mean by that, yeah.
Yeah. It makes me smile every day.
Well, tell me about what this is, La Cochinita. The name rings a bell, but I can't remember exactly where. Huh?
So we started our food truck back in 2011.
2011, you had a food truck back then.
We still do.
You still do.
The Bright Red Truck you've probably seen around town.
Hmm. And that's what you do is catering with a food truck?
Yeah, we do. Catering. We set up along the parade route during Mardi Gras.
Ah.
All around town for lunches and farmers markets and festivals. And now we're at the Pythian Market as well.
Oh, no kidding. The what market?
The Pythian Market.
Yeah. I'm sorry, what?
The Pythian?
The Pythian. Okay, so there's the connection between the other people who are sitting in the room with me.
Yes.
It's funny, isn't it? It just happens.
Well, we all three had food trucks, and we all knew each other,
yeah.
So our stalls are all right next to one another. So
you know, we have...
Yes, the food truck corner.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. An oddity has occurred on this program over the years, and it's almost certainly due to me, but... Oh, no, I'm serious.
No, I'm
and that is people call me up and they say, I went to this food truck yesterday and it was so fantastic. They had brisket. They had this coleslaw that was made out of different things than I've ever seen before. It was just great. And then I say, okay, where is it? And they tell me, Eagle Street and Claiborne, just to pick out one. The next day I go there, ain't there. So the guy calls up and says, how'd you like that? I said, well, I would have loved it, except that it didn't exist. He said, oh, no, well, they are on ours. I said, okay, well, when's the next time? Well, gave me another address, and turned up, nothing. I truly, I'm not joking, I've gone to food trucks around the city since before Katrina. I have yet to find one. Can you tell me where I can find one? I want to try a food truck, but this has been denied me.
Yeah. Typically food trucks, there's a lot of factors, whether things can, call you off. But if you have to follow their social media and find out where they're going.
Oh, that's it.
There's a line of food trucks here by the hospital every day.
Yeah. Which hospital?
Tulane.
Oh. Oh, over here. Yeah. Where the training and all that goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're getting somewhere.
Yes.
Yeah. Hello there. You are back on The Food Show on 105.3 FM HD2. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. Today we are flanked on various sides by Micah Martello. Did I say Micah?
That's correct.
Yeah. Also, Jason King Frenchies.
Yes.
The whole thing. Yeah. And Kelsey Reed of Squeeze. Or is that just, wait a minute, but did I use that wrong? Just
you
now?
Said it correctly.
Okay, good.
You killed it.
And then we have... Rachel and Keller, am I okay so far?
Benoit.
No.
Benoit.
Benoit.
Rachel and Benoit, yes.
Rachel and Benoit. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That'll be out.
And we were talking about La Cochinita, and as far as we got before we had to take the break was that this also is a catering operation mostly, right?
Yeah, we do mostly catering, but we also have regular stops around town. We park around the CBD with the truck by the colleges, and we do a lot of the late night uptown by the 38th, I'm sorry, on 8th and Magazine Street, the Rendezvous Tavern and Bar.
I know exactly where that is.
Yeah, that's where we've been parking. That's actually where our food truck concept came about. Mm-hmm. I was sitting with Rachel, which was just a friend from Commander's Palace at that time one night. And, yeah, after a few drinks, I was hungry, and I turn around and I say, hey, Rachel, want to open up a food truck? And somehow here we are 7 years later still going at it.
Two restaurants, two babies.
Oh, yeah, yeah, well, that happens too. Well, that sounds terrific. And it started in, did I hear you say 2011?
2011 is 2011. When we hit the streets for the first time, yes.
I also heard, while we were in the break, mention of a Cuban sandwich, but with a Cajun touch to it. Is that that? Is that? We actually have one here, I'll be darned. So we get a chance to taste it.
This is called the Cajun Cubano.
Yeah,
we do. It's a little bit of a twist on the standard issue Cubano. We do roast pork loin, thin sliced tasso, smoked gouda, sweet pickles, and a jalapeno garlic aioli pressed on French bread.
Yeah, well, yeah, but you have one of those pressers.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those are pretty cool.
Yes.
Yeah,
makes a good sandwich.
Doug is moving in for the kill. I will turn this one over. I have not touched this or until now put this. It was a wrapped fork here and everything, and so I haven't contaminated this. So you can have this after this taste, because this is the one that has the grits.
That's the trash grits.
The funky grit.
Underneath that egg, you try to break that yolk, because that yolk is like the glue that holds it all together.
I got the yolk.
Got the yolk. The good yellow grits cooked in chicken stock.
And what is the meat here?
Smoked pulled pork with grilled onions. It's kind of breakfasty, kind of lunchy, kind of barbecue-y.
That's exactly what I was getting out of it, because there are a lot of dishes that go one way. Like to me, brisket. Brisket. Yeah. It goes two ways for me.
Right.
When it's cold outside, I put it in the boiler and let it cook for a long, long time, and then you have it with some nice vegetables and stuff.
Right.
And the rest of the year, you go back and smoke it and just get it nice and crusty and black on the edges and all the similar kind of other parts of that. And it's very seasonal and almost they're almost living things.
Yeah.
So. I think you've certainly accomplished that with this grits thing. So is this yours?
That is.
That is. Well,
yours.
You know, that's actually beautiful in there, the colors you have in here.
Thank you.
You have more than a little bit of hot sauce, I think.
That's sriracha, yeah.
Sriracha, okay. Okay. Yeah, this should keep
Asian
people busy.
Ketchup, yeah.
Asian ketchup.
Basically.
That's pretty much exactly what it is. Just what we needed, more ketchup.
Right.
Anyway. Where do you turn up, or is there a place where you turn up on a regular basis?
Absolutely.
And people
you can get that dish 7 days a week.
This one right here
Pythian
with the grits.
Yes, yes.
And where do you get that?
At the Pythian Market.
The Pythian Market. Loyola. Okay. So the place we have been talking about the whole time. Well, gosh, this is very adventuresome stuff.
We brought a whole bunch of other stuff. Jason has
For goodness sake,
these are the Frenchies fries.
Let's burst in.
Yeah,
Frenchies
his
fries
are really good, too, actually.
Yeah, we have some fries, we have some sliders, and we have a basic grilled cheese for you, the boots, which we consider to be anything but basic, but quite wonderful.
Let's talk about sliders.
Yes, sir.
Now, I've known sliders since the first time they came around back in the, well, not all the way into the 20s and 30s for me, but but they were still around, you know, the Crystal and the Royal Castle and, you know, all of those, and they were pretty minimal food. I mean, it was just greasy and other problems, but then somebody said, why don't we make this into something good? And they succeeded. It's unbelievable.
Yeah,
just wasn't expecting to see that. So you get into that sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an interesting conversation about sliders. Some people get really mad because they think they should be cooked a certain way, onions and all of this, but I think sliders are just like any other conduit in terms of how you use them. You know, one of our sliders, our Percival, which is one of our most popular, is actually brisket, like you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
We use goat cheese and we use raspberry preserves, and then we use pickled onions.
You think you have enough going on there?
I think your mouth feels that way, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's all I care about.
Yeah.
This is The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice, and it's great to be here with you talking about food. And this is something we hardly ever touch on our program, even though I always say that you want to talk on our show, we're open to absolutely everything about food and restaurants and stuff. And what we're getting here are, first of all, you know, what's the name on the grits again?
Trash grits.
Trash grits. I had to see that. No matter what else you were going to bring in here, I definitely wanted to have this. And it really is good.
Thank you.
You could really have this in a fancy breakfast place.
Yeah.
And it could just be because the presentation is so nice.
Thank you.
Very good. This takes take a little while, huh? And it's almost like an omelet, a little omelet on top.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
With the fried egg.
Very, very thin.
Yes.
Yeah, you got a lot going on there. Hello there, it's The Food Show. I'm Tom Fitzmaurice. It's great to be here with you talking about food and restaurants and stuff. We have, and we've been not giving them their due, Rachel and Benoit from La Cochinita. I think they're still there. You still there?
Yeah, we're here.
Well, I'm sorry. We have an overpopulation of guests in the studio today, but that happens. Sorry about that. Tell me more about La Cochinita. When did you get this started, and what was the idea?
So we started back in 2011. That's when we started our food truck. And Benoit and I were working at Commander's Palace at the time.
You were? What were you doing there?
We're captains, both front of the house.
No kidding.
Benoit is from Venezuela. He went to culinary school back there, and then he did some back of the house stuff and some front of the house stuff. But yeah, we met working in the front of the house. So,
well, I'm sure you know that people who have skill in the things you were just describing are in such demand. I'm amazed that the Brennans let them get away from you. Let you get away from them, rather.
We slowly phased ourselves out as the food truck grew, and mm-hmm. we didn't have time to do both anymore. But
I don't understand how you can do it at all. But that's amazing, you people with all these skills.
Yeah, our team at the time was very understanding, and they were very supportive of the fact that we were sort of going out on our own and doing our thing. So they were very flexible with our scheduling for the first 3-4 months that we started the food truck.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what Paul Prudhomme did when he started with the Brennans a long time. You know, he was opening up his own place at first on the sly, and then it was, you know, open to everybody. And he did really well with that, to put it mildly.
He certainly did.
Hmm. Okay. So what do I want to eat over there? Or is this or can you eat at your place?
Our La Cochinita is a concept inspired in Venezuelan food. I'm born and raised in Venezuela, but faith brought me to New Orleans about 15 years ago. And one of the things that I always missed, although the food in New Orleans I always thought was some of the most amazing I've ever had, was, you know, the longing of the food that I grew up with. So
Well, you know, they have a lot in common. South American food and New Orleans food, a lot of the same roots.
Influence, yeah. Yes. Obviously, during slavery times, Venezuela was one of the main ports where a lot of the ships would come through, and there's a lot of the European influence too, a lot of Spanish and French influence. So I always found it very similar yet very different, I guess, the terroir and the different ingredients that are used sort of define each one of them. But, you know, yeah, like you said, essentially they're very similar because they have very similar influences.
I'm going to have a hard time choking out the names of the places, but Cartagena, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cartagena's in Colombia, yes.
In Colombia, yeah. I knew it was not far away, but we've been there a couple of times. And we're really struck by how, not just in terms of the food, but how everything looks and all the people act a lot like New Orleans people. I'm sure that's that they might have come first, not New Orleans, but they have a lot in common. It's interesting to see. Yes? No? Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, where do you operate from so I can find you when I'm looking for you?
We're open every day, of course, at the Pythian Market.
Yeah.
And then we do, you know, we do lunches around town at, LSU Health Sciences Center, Tulane Medical Center, Poggius and Loyola over at the Energy Center.
Hmm.
And then on Wednesdays, we're at the Galleria in Metairie.
Hmm.
For lunch. Hmm. Yeah. We've been doing lunches over there on Wednesdays. And we do the farmer's market over in Mid-City on Thursdays. Thursday, Friday, Saturday nights, we're at the Rendezvous until late, 2 in the morning is when we shut down on Fridays and Saturdays.
Yeeks.
Yeah.
That's almost as bad as working for a restaurant. Well, anyway, this obviously is doing pretty well for you. So keep us. Next time you call me, believe me, I will not let it happen like this where we sort of left you in a corner for a while. I'm sorry.
But no, that's all good.
Yeah. We'll see you again, and I can't wait to at some point give a try to what you're doing there.
You'll have to try El Pavillon.
El Pavillon? Where's that?
El Pavillon. Ben wants to tell you it's one of our signature dishes.
Essentially, it's an arepa, which is a cornmeal patty.
Ah.
That we hand make, and then we finish it off in the oven. And we stuff it with some long braised brisket, some plantains, black beans, cheese, and
That's another thing the folks down there have in common with New Orleans is that they like to eat a lot of beans.
You got it right there, man.
Yeah.
The arepas that they're talking about are right there in front of you.
That's all you.
I've just been handed something I think is one of yours. It looks like from where I'm looking.
That's arepas.
Arepas. Okay. We have a restaurant here that, or is that you guys?
No. That's a different place. That's Mas Arepas. And they have arepas also.
Yeah.
Different style. Those
are what from the top looks like a buttermilk biscuit, but from below it's some sort of tortilla. I think.
No, it's just an arepa.
Yeah, an arepa? Thank you. I'm glad you straightened that all out for me. And then you've got some looks like pork here from a distance, but what else is in here?
Well, so that's the dish that he just described. It's got the brisket, the black beans, cheese, the sweet plantains, and then some crema.
Yeah, this looks beautiful. I'm trying to work my way up to it. But anyway, so this is typical of what you're doing every day?
So we serve Venezuelan specialties like that, and then we also have tacos and rice and beans, plantains, all that all those Latin American flavors.
Mm. I just made the mistake of sticking a big wad of it in my mouth. No, these are
delicious.
Tell me what these breads or what? There's probably a name for them. That
arepas.
Okay, what is this made out of? Because it's very interesting.
Yeah, so it's made out of masa, the same masa that you make tamales out of. And so they're naturally gluten free, and they've got that soft texture on the inside, and they're nice and crispy on the outside.
It's really nice.
Our most popular selling out.
Is it really? Well, that's easy to understand. I mean, everything about it sort of says, you've seen me before. you just haven't eaten me before. That's, I guess, is the deal. Well, anyway. Well, thanks for coming in and spending a little time with us. And for sharing
Thank
a little
you.
Bit, too.
Thanks for having us.
We'll see you again, I hope. And I'll see you over at the new place. Is it nice to be here for you guys?
It's lovely.
Come on. You're pulling my chain.
No, we're loving it. This has been an experience.
And we're out of the kitchen, so this
we're
is kind of
We're
nice.
Out of the kitchen.
This is air-conditioned.
You ought to come into my office sometimes. I could store meat in there. If you ever need some place
some extra
to hang.
Space.
I don't know how it got in there, but it's there. but that's life. What's in the future of all of this? We have this new food hall. Thank you. It's going to take me a while to get used to
food
that.
Food hall for all.
I was in
food
fine
hall
dining.
Wait, did I just hear food? Hall for All?
Yes. That's our slogan.
Gotta love that. You're good to go. Do you have a sticker or a little pin I can wear?
We surely will. We'll
get good. You one. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, hashtag food hall for all.
But you know, is that right? Is that there. Where you go in? No?
I mean,
yes?
That's what. Yeah. I mean, the hashtag is just.
Social media purposes. Yeah. But yeah, there's a vendor for everybody.
That's the idea.
There's a joke in there somewhere, but I can't quite ferret it out, so I'm going to leave it alone.
Yeah. Seriously, the food halls are the way of the future. I mean,
it certainly seems that way.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of budding entrepreneurs out there. You know, it's a restaurant business is really risky, obviously. It's really expensive to get into, and it's not getting any cheaper. So this is a great way for young chefs and entrepreneurs to test their concepts without spending them.
Even on the back end, like, why should you have to decide how you want to be happy in that way before you have to eat? I mean, I just don't see why you shouldn't be allowed to have a poke bowl and a fried oyster and also get some arepas. If you want to be a fat boy out. Like, you need to find the right environment to give you that idea.
It makes it really easy for, like, a business lunch and not splitting the bill and deciding everybody to go to one restaurant. And I think it's just convenient.
Well, I will go along with everything you say, but there's still an element of dining out that is somewhat formal. You don't see hardly anybody doing truly formal. I mean, I can only think of two restaurants that have anything like a dress code. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, but that's a choice too, right?
That is a choice.
That's how you came to the place.
You
come in suits and tux and the whole pigtails.
Yeah, it's the only thing that helps my looks. So I just got to go with it. But this is part of the restaurant experience that I personally have always enjoyed, and a lot of people have too. But I think the millennials who get the blame for everything these days, I know, but in this case, I think it's true, have kind of taken it over and, we're eating French fries as appetizers with foie gras. Some of that gets silly. You worked for Chef Duke?
I did. I worked for Chef Duke back in the early 90s. I was his sous chef for a couple of years. And I worked at Tavern on the Park back in the very early 90s. I was chef at Charlie G's for about 5 years.
Tavern on the Park is one of those, I think there's five of them. There are five restaurants from which I have been banned. You remember the guy who owned it, who was
Jack Sands. Oh, I remember
Jack
him
Sands,
very well.
Very interesting guy.
Very interesting.
he used to do these, what would you call this? Kind of somewhere between a meeting and an accolade, where he would bring in the Marines band.
Yes.
And it was really pretty cool, actually. I couldn't quite figure it out, but it's anyway, he was an interesting guy.
He was.
Yeah.
Let's see, remember Charlie G's?
Yep.
I was executive chef there for about 5 years.
Oh, no kidding.
I had a short stint. I owned my own place uptown called Nautical in the late 90s.
I remember that.
And then
because there were two,
like the little duplex thing. Yeah. Well, yeah, it was an old shotgun. It was an old coffee house on Maple Street. We converted it, and then I left Louisiana for 15 years.
It was the old Flagons, I think.
I think so, yeah.
That I remember very well.
Yes. And then I just moved back 4 years ago. Hmm. So,
what were you doing in the interim?
I was a corporate chef for Renaissance Hotels. I was a corporate chef for Carlson.
That's like right out the window here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
I work for Carlson Restaurants Worldwide.
Who that?
Carlson Restaurants Worldwide is the parent company of TGI Fridays.
Oh.
But we had another section of the company where we did fine dining stuff.
Hmm.
So I walked away from fine dining and started a food truck.
Obviously it's working for you.
We're doing okay. We're opening two more locations this fall in Jackson, Mississippi, so we'll have five locations.
Jackson, Mississippi.
Two food trucks now.
It's an interesting place to choose. How'd you get on that?
We just go where the opportunity is, Opportunity pops up and we go. But Jackson loves all things New Orleans, so I think our food's going to do pretty well there.
Good. I hope so.
It's a food hall there also.
Isn't that interesting?
It is.
It's more and more all the time.
Yeah.
Jason, I just realized we've hardly been talking to you at all, although you've been putting in your own comments, which is just fine with me.
Me as well. We're good.
Tell me about Frenchies. What What's that?
Frenchies is it's a grilled cheese concept. Essentially, it's based around, you know, lover of bread, cheese, and butter, which is the only things, you know, I personally really care about. Food wasn't, I didn't go to culinary school or anything. I went to law school, and I was a lawyer, and you eat your emotions when you're a lawyer, especially if you're...
You eat your emotions.
You do.
Give me another couple of sentences on that subject. That's that sounds really fascinating.
Well,
I'm serious.
So am I. So if you... I woke up at 1:30 the other day, and I couldn't sleep, and I ate 6 donuts. Because that calmed me down.
So, well, yeah. I can see where you're coming from.
So that's the idea. And I think you work it out in your head while you're eating, and then you keep on going. And I think at Frenchie's, that's what we want. We want you to be happy. We want you to have that choice. I don't really care about the calories or the count. I think those are things you work out on the, you know, when you get offline. I think you just you want to go in there and have fun and enjoy it.
Sounds good to me. Let's see. Is this a part of the Pythian Empire,
sir,
too?
Yes, it is. Yeah. Pythian Empire.
That's what it ought to be called, the Pythian Empire.
Pythian Empire.
I'm going to use that.
Yeah, every Thursday they come in, and here come the swords and
Pythian soldiers at work.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I mean, look, honestly, the Pythian market, pound for pound, I think has some choices which are hard to compete with. I mean, I don't think many people can really match Kai's, you know, poke bowl skills and what he brings there. You know, I think
poke bowl. Pokey. Skills.
Yeah, I mean,
I know what pokey is.
Yes.
So what do you mean by?
Well, you've had good pokey, and you probably had bad pokey. And the person who was good, I would argue, he had a higher skill level. And I think
he's living
in that level. And I think La Cocinita is another group, another situation where you are really just getting an excellent product consistently, fast, at fast pace, at time. I think 14 Parishes, some people that aren't here, is Jamaican food, if you're from anywhere
else.
We
never had enough Jamaican food here for the connections, the possible connections with the two cuisines. They're so similar. Mm-hmm. I remember I went to Jamaica the first time in my life back in 1974, I think it was. And I couldn't get over how many things there. Just here I am. I'm always thinking about New Orleans, but it kind of came together that way. And the music, too. You know, a whole lot about it.
Oh, definitely.
That was very enjoyable and distinctly for the area.
I mean, they're vibrant cultures, and they're vibrant cultures food-wise and culturally otherwise. And I think they do an excellent product as well. You know, I think we have an amazing oyster by Chef Marlin, who's just an excellent chef. You know, I think Eat Well has been around on Canal and Broad for a while, but now they have their offset through their son at the market. And I think you're just going to do – you're really going to enjoy that bami. You're going to be able to have that experience. So I think we, you know, the child or the Pythian market or whatever catch we're calling it now, I think just gives you the opportunity to have 13 wonderful choices and then play along that line. And not to mention Little Fig, which is...
Little Fig?
Which is...
That was on my list, but I don't think we got to it. Or was it not on the list?
Well, there are 1,000 figs off of Esplanade.
Echo's
Pizza.
Echo's Pizza. Same idea. Yeah. Gavin Teresa and that whole little group. And I think they just... Every day they go for it in an aggressive style that is beautiful and it tastes amazing.
I would agree with that. Yeah. Well, this is all very enlightening, and it's a bigger world than I thought it would be. And you know, here I am supposed to know something about this. So, I'm really glad you came in because you know you need to get your info from somewhere.
Right.
And that's the best I can do. You know. Well, I think we have had a reasonably decent time here.
Absolutely.
Everybody happy
Indeed.
He or she came?
Yes, it was excellent.
And, absolutely. And I'm glad we got a chance to laugh a couple of times because it wouldn't be fun without laughing.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So, but thanks for coming on. We'll see you again. And interesting to see how this might develop over the years.
You should come have it.
I really should.
We'll be waiting for you.
Oh, yeah. Good.
I feel like you have 13 places you have to try now.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
A little bit from each.
Yeah, why not? Sounds good to me. All right, stay tuned. We have a little news break coming in, and then after that we'll get into the second course of the food show here on 105.3 FM HD2. The Soup The Soup, the news coming up next over most of these same frequencies from CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.